Welcome to the Wealthy Money Property Podcast, your ultimate resource to unlocking your inner property guru and building a property investment portfolio. Now, introducing your host for the show.
Hey, property magicians. Okay, so we had a Christmas special. We now have a New Year special. For this podcast, this one is really going to be short, right? We want to walk you through an intention / goal setting strategy that we use for income growth over at the Money Magic course. But we decided we're going to do this together for property instead. So my name is Vangile, and I'm the host. Welcome, Lizo, who's my co-host.
Hi there, Vangile. We are doing this for you for 2020. I don't know what you've got plans. I don't make resolutions as a rule, but I do make my goal setting intentions, and I normally go on a year-end retreat to go and reflect and sit on what I want to do. So today we thought, let's do the sitting together. She's sitting in Sri Lanka, I'm sitting in Johannesburg, rainy Johannesburg. So shall we do this with our listeners? I love working like this.
Oh, I do actually as well. So let's just move right on to the show. Let's start our next segment of the show. Okay, so property magicians, get a pen and paper. This is really one of those episodes. We're not just saying it and just, you know, saying get a pen and paper. You actually need a pen and paper to do this episode with us, right? This is our Money Magic goal setting worksheet that we have maneuvered and changed for property. So it's going to be absolutely incredible. And the first step that we want you to decide is, how many properties do you want to buy in 2020, right? Ooh. So we're all just, the reason why you need to put a number to this, you could just say, I want more properties, but you don't know what that looks like and you don't set a goal for yourself. So it's always up in the air. So write it down. How many properties do you want to buy in 2020? Now, it doesn't have to be 10 properties. If you've never bought property before, it's okay to say just one property. A lot of our Money Magic students are at one property a year, right? And that's perfect, right? I'm literally like, I have only one property. One is land, finished the land transaction in Sri Lanka, right? Yeah. And then another is a property in the CBD in Johannesburg. Nothing more. Like, I am not adding any other things because I don't want to get distracted, right?
Can I just add there that for another person, it might not be buying. I'm going to give you an example. For us, my partner and I, what are we doing for the first quarter? We are maximizing and tenanting the one multi-let. And number two, we are beginning refurbishment on the second multi-let that we have. That's what we have as a goal plan for the first quarter of the year. And end of March, 31st of March, both those need to be finished with refurbishing, and each and every room have a tenant. That's the goal. You know,
so
it doesn't have to be a buy. For someone else, it could be, I want to build two bachelor flats at the back of the property that I'm living in for rental, and I'm going to do that for the first quarter. Practical steps, stop having things.
So this is for the year, means not for step one, it's 2020. Oh, so one, what do they want? So you can write all your goals, right? Yes. For 2020. Yes. I always say to people, please put like one or two goals for the year. Because you're like me, I'm a very, believe it or not, or maybe you do believe it, most people believe it, I'm a very emotional person. So a lot of my decisions are always made around the emotional aspects of things. I freak out really easily and stuff. So if you're like me and you get easily overwhelmed, so just put one or two goals, right, for 2020. Absolutely. So, Miso, step two?
On step two, decide on the cost of properties and where they will be located. Are they multifamily, single family, student accommodation? Are they a commercial property? Now, on the Christmas episode, remember, Vangile, we did the seven strategies of property investment. It's not exhaustive. We just did the seven strategies. Yeah. Now, it doesn't help you to listen to Miso and think, I'm going to do multifamily. It help you to listen to episode 15 where Sandile speaks about investing in Tafontein and you happen to be sitting in Bloemfontein, right? Yeah. So you choose and stay with one thing and commit so that it's achievable and you can contain it. So, and then next thing is the cost of those properties. How are you going to know? When you look on Property 24 or when you look on any property magazine and you are looking at these houses and the suburb that you want to buy in, let's say you want to buy next to the airport in Kempton Park, you already know the ballpark figure of what those suburbs cost. So that you know how much money you need to raise, how much money you need to refinance on your house, on your existing properties, etc., etc. So that's what we are talking about in stage two. There's no point in wanting a 4 million rent house when right now all you can refinance is a house that is 1.2 million. So that's what these steps are about.
I love that. So then the kind of property that you want, right? You've decided I want a multifamily, I want this. You move on to step three, right? Because obviously you need to know how much funding you qualify for, right?
Yeah.
So how much funding would a bank give you based on your salary or based on your business? You need to kind of figure that out. And that's where we talk about things like My Budget Fitness, Clear Score, all that, right? So if you've already gone on to TPN, you've determined that you want a multifamily in this neighborhood in step two and it costs X amount, that's the key, right? You go on to step three and you say, how do I qualify for this? So you go, you can even go ask the bank and you figure it out. And then that leads you to step four, Miso.
Absolutely. And then assume you have to put down a down payment of 10% or 20% because banks and even TAF, none of them now give, hardly ever give 100% mortgage loans. So this is how you know when I'm buying a 1 million rent property, where am I going to get the 100,000 for a 10% down payment or a 12% or 20%? And that's how you know what your goal is. Maybe your goal of step one is not even, or of step two, the cost of property. Once you know the cost of properties, you know how to save or where you are going to extract the money that you need for the down payment. That's it. So just knowing that you are going to get a 90% or 80% mortgage loan helps you to plan on how you're going to get your down payment.
Wow, I really, really love that. And then step five is very much linked to step four, which is, where will you get the money from, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, look at the various ways of funding that we discussed in the Christmas episode. So in the week before this, look at that podcast. And it's literally, there are so many ways that you can get the money. So if you go to the bank and the bank says to you, you don't qualify for this property, doesn't mean that that's it. You don't get the money. You can go to TAF, you can go to Mastandi, you can look for private lenders, you can go and do your work and then figure out also where is the 20% going to come from. Right?
Absolutely.
So if you need to do a down payment for something like TAF, are you going to refinance? Are you going to use family and friends? Are you going to raise money through your business? Right? So because some of us, if you're entrepreneurial, you can raise money from your business for a lot of things. So how can you start another stream of income? All that. So you want to start thinking about that.
Absolutely. Which then leads us to step six, isn't it? Property structures. Now, when you are building a property investment portfolio, you need to have proper property structures for you to raise finance as a personal, as a, in your personal name, or in your company, or within a trust. All those have got implications in terms of tax, in terms of which financiers give you TAF. For instance, when you are buying a inner city building, you are evaluated as someone who is buying a, as a commercial entity, not as an individual, really. So you will need to have registered a company to get finance from them. So company structures are incredibly important. Who are you going to contact? Which conveyance lawyer? You start interviewing the different law firms and looking at the ones, because not all conveyance lawyers know everything about property as an investment portfolio. All right. They may transfer one property from one person to the other, one entity to the other, but they necessarily need to know, when you are building a portfolio, your structure needs to be a particular way. And estate planning is very important. Have you got children? Are you married, out of community or in community property? Do you have a complicated relationship that may need a structure? So that those are things are very, very important in your business.
Yeah, wow. That's step six. Oh my gosh, I love this so much. Right? Yeah. So, and the first thing, the step seven is to also start looking at your resources, right? And part of your resources is your tribe. So often when we think of this funding and growth thing, we don't look at the resources that we have at our disposal, right? So if you're thinking, how am I going to get the money? How am I going to get part of the funding? What resources do you have at your disposal? Do you have a house that can now suddenly, instantly rent out and cash flow for more money that could maybe start to fund part of the deposit for the house, for the next property? So we hear all the time of house hackers who started, who had gorgeous houses and decided to Airbnb, and instantly in the first month they made an extra 30K, an extra 40K. So can you do that yourself, right? And then look at your tribe. Who do you need in your tribe to make this goal a reality, right? So we already know to set up your property structures, you need a conveyancing attorney. Do you need a tax person? Do you need a real estate broker or real estate agent? Because maybe you don't know the neighborhood that well, right? Or you don't know what's available, what buildings you can buy. Can you go through a process where you talk to real estate agents, all that? Can you start bringing these people into your tribe? So these are really, really important. This is really important. And if you don't have a tribe yet, write down how, brainstorm ways in which you can start building a tribe, going to networking events, talking more, posting more in the Money Magicians Facebook group. You know that there's people in the larger public group that are about property, joining other property platforms virtually, having coffee with other people that you meet at networking functions that are into property, having a conversation with them, getting coaches that will help introduce you and open up their networks for you or introduce you to their tribes. These are such powerful ways to build your tribe.
That's such a power. So it's something, it's called a power team, this tribe that you are talking about.
Yeah.
Such value. And the power team doesn't have to stay stagnant. You call them in as you need them. It's not like you have them and you are paying them monthly. Such a very good step. On step eight, Vangile, which is something that is so incredible.
Yes.
Remember in step one, Vangile spoke about you are setting a year goal. How?
Yeah.
What are you going to buy for the whole year? In step eight, we now break it up into chunks, into quarterly goals. Yes, I want a property, or I want to own 100 units. which are going to give me a rental of over 200,000 per year. But how am I going to get there? Maybe I'm going to buy a building with 50 units first in the first quarter. That's what I'm looking for. Then I'm able to tell the estate agent my specs. These are the specifications. It must be in the city center. It must have minimum 40 units. It must have a commercial element at the bottom. Maybe it's got a bunch of shops or a hair salon or something like that. It must have parking and it must be in this price range. This is how you set up a quarterly goal. There's no point in wanting to own a building. Where? In the air. How soon and where and how much must it be? What are you willing to put your energy into? So that's how you know how to set up goals so that they are achievable. That's your step eight.
I really, really, really love this, right? What you've just said, Mizo. So the other thing is that you take your annual goal, you break it down. Like, how will I know? Because if I'm just buying two things for the year, right? And this is me, right? I'm a big believer in, if I'm going to set the goal, that one goal is going to be a big goal. So I'm going for a big multi-let. In my head, I'm like, let's go for 30 units, you know, straight up from the bat. So I don't want to add extra layers of things to that, right? The Sri Lankan property is already going to be its own thing. Let's just secure the lot 2021. We can talk about a bunch of other things around building. I'll start building properly as we near the end of 2020. So not an issue. So, but how will I know that I'm getting closer to my goal? So this is where you set the quarterly goals, right? Is that, how do you define your movement closer to your goal? So it may be, I'm only buying one property in 2020, so I need to have that property in the last quarter. But how I will know that I'm moving closer to that goal is maybe the first milestone in 2020. The first quarter is I've already secured the 20% of funding. I've got that under the belt, right? And then the second milestone in the second quarter is I'm already looking at buildings. I've already secured, by the time June 2020 comes, I have the building under lock. I'm talking about it. And in the third quarter is that, the milestone is that I'm already looking at transferring the building into my name and buying it and signing documents. And by the time September 2020 comes, I have signed for it, or October 2020 comes, I have signed for it, I've got the title deed, right? So you've got milestones at every quarter to work towards, which brings us from that point when you have those milestones, which brings us to step nine. Step nine.
So this is where we do a list of the things that you need to do. What do you need to buy a building? You need to sign an offer to purchase, but you need to have found the building first. You need to have specified the type of building you are looking for, minimum. You need to have given the specifications to a real estate agent, or when you search on Property 24, that means I'm going to search on Property 24 every 3 days. I'm going to be on Property 24 whenever they renew their list every week. I'm going to be there. I'm going to look at Auction Inc. I'm going to look at Oco. I'm going to drive around, drive for miles, looking for buildings. And the ones that have got for sale, I take down all their numbers. On Friday morning, I'm going to sit and call three of these buildings. I'm going to view them on a Saturday and a Sunday when I'm off work. So those are your practical little micro steps. We've broken down the annual into quarterly. We are now breaking the quarterly into monthly and weekly, because sometimes we end up saying, you know, I'm going to look for a building. I don't know what you're looking for when you say you're looking for a building. You know, I'm going to tell the real estate, the agents to help me look for a building. But if you do not have the specification, you're never going to look for anything. anything.
Yes.
And when you drive around, now you drive around with a keen awareness of the type of properties that attract, that are attracted to your intention and goal setting. That is what is step nine about.
Oh, wow. I really, really love what you just said, you know? So it's setting, taking the quarterly goals and then breaking them down into monthly goals, right? Is that by the time I'm going to find the building, if I, in my June 2020, the goal is that I have identified the building to buy, I must have a monthly goal every month, right? Yeah. And I like that. It could be, your monthly goal can also be, I need to go look at three or four different buildings every month, right? And to look at it. So which brings us to step 10, which is now you take the monthly goals, you make them weekly actions, right? These are bite-sized actions. Wow, I don't know what's happening. We don't live near the airport. Well, we don't really hear planes all the time. We're near the airport, but suddenly today, planes. It must be the December season, you know? So, okay. Sorry, guys. So back to the weekly action steps for the first quarter, right? So you want to start, and if you can't do this for the whole year, bravo to you. But I like to then take the first quarter, and after we've broken down the first quarter, monthly actions and then weekly actions, what are you going to do? So if in the first quarter, your first goal is to sign offers to purchase or to set up your property structures, then you need weekly goals every week. So if it's set up your property structures, talk to a conveyancing attorney can be a weekly action step. Have a property registered by the end of the first quarter, but have all those steps of talking to a conveyancing attorney, having signed for this. So by the end of this week, I must get the documents for this. So have all those weekly things in there. It could be going, another weekly action step could be going to talk to various real estate agents, feeling them out so that you can go look for property. Another weekly step could be I go and I look at houses on show every week, or I start learning how to analyze rental properties, right? It could be that simple. It could be like I go, I look at buildings, I get all the stuff, I get myself used to figuring out how to analyze property.
Properties.
Super important.
So that is step 10. Step 10 for me has been the biggest challenge, in that we forget to go and look at our weekly steps. And how I also keep myself motivated is that I will let my partner know what I said I would do this week, just so that he reminds me, have you done that thing? Some people will engage a coach so that they can watch their weekly steps with them or their monthly steps with them. So that's such a powerful thing to do. Always, you need someone to hold your feet to the fire so that you do what you said you would do. It's a commitment to yourself and then having the support structure behind it. Which brings me to step 11. It is such an incredible thing that we have learned to celebrate our wins. And I learned this on a weight management program, that there's nothing as punishing as having this strictness about your diet and then not celebrating every milestone. And every milestone doesn't mean go and blow off some money or to go and have the biggest slab of chocolate, which takes you back on your weight goal, But you need to find a way and almost plan your celebration meetings. Celebrate a certain way when you have achieved your quarterly goal, so that you keep motivated, and that's how you will know when you have won on your goal setting for 2020. Do you have anything to add on celebration? You are big on this.
I am big on celebrating small wins, right? Actually don't have anything to add, but something that I was telling my sister about, because we were having a conversation and she says that she sometimes gets caught up in, oh my gosh, there's still so much to do. Because I was like the other day to her, oh my God, have you seen, like, imagine how far we've come from growing up in a little plot in Johannesburg, do you ever think about it? And she said, no, I only ever mull over the things that I still have to get done. And then like sometimes I feel like I'm not doing enough, which is why we celebrate small wins. So one of the advices I was giving to her was, what if you start a jar? People have been doing these gratitude jars, right? Which I've never, I'm not like a big fan of gratitude jars. I like it if you do. I love doing gratitudes every morning and stuff. But one of the things that I have found really helpful over the years is like a small wins jar, where I post when I was very, very depressed and I would feel like I'm not good enough. And that was my story that was running through. And I feel like I haven't come far enough. Every single day I would jot in my journal just one thing I've done right for the day that I have. That is moving me closer to that goal, especially around my money goal. Sometimes it was just like I looked at my bank statement, right? So I'd write the date and do that. So maybe it's something that people can start doing as well. If you know you're the kind of person that judges your progress against other people and what other people are doing, you can do that. And it will always remind you that actually you can keep going, you are moving forward, because that belief in forward momentum is what is going to keep you motivated. So hope that helps, guys.
I hope that helps you. And our small wins are really going to build to that big win for 2020. So let's get on with it. One page. And if you have anything to share on this podcast about your 2020 goal setting, please take a picture and show us or share at the bottom of this episode. We'd love to
see you. Yes, that's such a lovely thing, Misa.
Yeah, let's do that. So here's to winning in 2020 in property investment, even if it means attending an education seminar, as long as you are going towards that goal of property investment, that will be a win for you. So thank you and welcome to 2020.
Yes, thank you. Welcome to 2020, guys. Let's do this. Share your wins with us in the group as well on hashtag Winning Wednesday. Share your takeaway from this on hashtag Property Thursdays in the group. But also let us know what your intentions and goals are for the year. Let's hold intentions for each other. We've just shared our intentions with you guys, and you'll be holding us in your spirit. Let us all hold each other in spirit, right? So here's to an incredible year ahead. Namaste.
Thank you for joining us for the Property Magicians podcast. Please share this episode with your family, friends, and even strangers. If you find this valuable, please subscribe to our YouTube channel and Podbean station. Or better yet, subscribe to our mailing list at wealthy-money.com. Again, wealthy-money.com. And receive our complimentary Creating Intentional Wealth ebook. Also, join the conversation on Facebook in our Facebook group. Just type in Wealthy Money Magicians, answer the questions, and join the Facebook group. Let's have a conversation about money and all things property related. Thank you once again.